agreed with and the cost incurred for the officials. In the documentation, there's no indication as to what the cost incurred was for the minister travelling, or in some cases whether the United Nations had paid for her or whether the AU. I think that's also important. So again, it's just to highlight, overall, this is what stands out. Moving, then what I've done, so those were general matters. I've then looked specifically at each of the branches. So starting off on the Office on the Rights of the Child, the Children's Branch. What we've indicated here is that for the consolidated annual report for 2009-10, they give an indication as to what the Office on the Rights of the Child had spent. But there's no indication as to when the department came into being, what did the Children's Rights Branch do? What did they spend on? We would assume they carried on with activities, but there's no indication as to what they've done or what they've spent. So that's the first bullet point. The second bullet point indicates that the ORC spent more than 500,000 on advertising, yet they only budgeted for 230,000. And again, there's a discrepancy, whereas if you spend 500,000, why did they also spend for communication 139,000, whereas the original budget for communication was 90,000. There's no indication as to what is meant by communication expenditure versus what is meant by advertising. Again, in terms of the third bullet point, there was expenditure incurred for social contributions, contractors, agency support, inventory for materials and supplies, and payments for financial assets, as well as other transfers. They spent money here, however, initially there was nothing budgeted for. Okay. The next bullet point was in the presidency's annual report, they indicate that UNICEF had given money for situational analysis as well as the country report. But in the presentation yesterday, no mention was made of donor money received, but yet they talked to the deliverables about the country report. And again, just to highlight at the end, that it's unclear what the children's branch had spent in the 2009-10 financial year, because there's no content information given, nor is there financial information given. This is not talking about when the department came into effect. Perhaps I could just pause there and ask if there's any additional information.
So what have they done in the actual fact? Did they just carry on? I mean, with the resources that were there for the previous, the donor funds, what did they do? Did they just plump it with the, you know, with the current budget for children?
When we look at this is the report that they gave us yesterday. If we go to page 5, Office on the Status on the Rights of Child, they don't give any indication there of donor money from UNICEF. In the presidency's report on page 167, I think 167 or 187, 181. Yeah, they give UNICEF for 2008-09, it was 686,000 and I think 50,000. Yeah, 50,000 for the country report and 686,000 for the situational analysis. So in other words, UNICEF had given them that money in 2008-09 and they were expected to deliver and produce a report in 2009-10. But when they presented yesterday, they talked to, we have done a report and we've done the situational analysis, but they don't indicate actually the money came from UNICEF. So that was just to highlight, when it comes to the children's branch, there's a disjuncture between what's in the presidency versus what they presented yesterday. Is there anything else that you'd like me to highlight in the children's branch? just from my memory, what stands out for me was in June 2010, so it doesn't apply. Because I wouldn't say in June 2010 of this year, the minister had a Children's Day event in Sea Point. And she, I remember we got her in the corridor and she said, please can you send two members? So they were busy doing something, but it's not, maybe in the next time they come to present us, they'll tell us what to do. So again, it's just to highlight, actually, but for 2019, we're not quite sure what was done for children.
Yes, I accept what Tasha says, and also just the fact of lack of communication that we've got to bring out, but not here, I know. But I'm also just interested in this inventory, stationery and printing. 239, and there was only 1,000. I just wonder where all this was going, where it all came from.
I'll note that, inventory and stationery, because that's a huge over-expenditure. And if they were supposed to produce reports, where are those reports? Okay, and I will note catering over-expenditure, which was consistent throughout all the branches. Catering was the issue. Consistently overspent. The other transfers was problematic in that you don't know what they're referring to.
Mm.
And that's a substantial amount. Other transfers for what?
Yeah.
Based on what? Okay. So moving on to the branch that deals with disability. Again, in terms of social contributions, the branch had spent $235,395.97, but this was not budgeted for. Again, there's no indication as to what social contributions stand for. In terms of catering, they budgeted for $20,000 and had spent $300,000 over this budget. In relation to contractors, again, the department spent $179,328.87 with an over expenditure of $129,328.77. Lease payments, there was also an over expenditure of $60,000.
Clarify myself.
Mm.
This social contribution, is this what they are giving out? Hmm? Social, because they contribute, it's an expenditure. Unless it was an income, we would say they received it for social contribution. But it's an expenditure, meaning that they're giving money out. Hmm.
Initially, I thought maybe it's part of their pension schemes, but that didn't make sense, and I thought that being that's a bit far-fetched, Kashi, but I've got no idea what social contribution stands for. But we just noted it wasn't budgeted for in some instances. In other instances, it was over expenditure, but there's no indication as to what this entails. So still with page 5, OSDP, in terms of lease payments, there was also an over expenditure by R60,000. There was no budget for payments for financial assets, yet there was a payment in this regard to the amount of $7,886. So in terms of the disability branch and the department, the only expenditure detailed was in relation to the international trip. No information was provided that related to what this branch spent in relation to other projects for the financial year. And this is very important, as in the case with the branch on children. We go a little bit further. They talk to, this is what the Office on the Status of Persons with Disabilities does, and when the department came in, they went on an international trip with the minister. We're hoping that they did more than go on an international trip with the minister, but there's no indication as to what else they've done and where they spent their money. So that's what we note in terms of the disability branch. Anything else that members would like me to add under that section? I mean, I'm not sure, but what I will flag here, just thinking based on my memory, is I remember at the time of the offices they, for disability, they receive donor money from the Danish fund. And they were expected to, and I know Zane at the time said there was money secure and it was for a set period. Again, I'm not sure whether they handed over the reports, whether those projects were finished, and whether they were deliverable. But maybe I could highlight if there was, it was no indication as whether this branch received any donor money, whether there was any outstanding deliverables expected from donors. Now, moving on to the women's branch. In terms of social contributions, this was not budgeted for, yet an amount of 215,915.26 was spent. It was an over expenditure of 200,000. Just to correct that. Yeah. So, table of women is page 4. Social contributions. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But the, there was no budget. I'll take out and say there was a, this was not budgeted for. In terms, and then the other thing members want me to add in is the over expenditure in terms of the salaries.
Say, this I find very interesting that we can have an over expenditure on salaries and yet this department is so understaffed. Where is this money going? You don't have staff members. There are vacancies everywhere. So that's a very serious question mark.
I will note the over expenditure in terms of salary. In terms of the communication line item, 77,000 Rand was budgeted for. Its expenditure amounts to 220,000. Next one, there was no budget for contractors, but 181,680 was spent on this line item. In terms of stationery, printing and lease payments, again, nothing was budgeted for, yet a total of 158,069 was spent. The department had also spent 73,000 for artists and 107,160 Rand for the stage in terms of the Women's Month celebration item. Now, that particular item, that was in the initial thing that they sent us. That was on the Monday afternoon at 4:10. And so And it's good that we've printed out everything so that we can compare how things have changed.
Mm.
Because in the previous one, the women's branch gave a lot more detail.
Mm.
So what we picked up there is the Women's Month celebration, she had spent for two artists, $27,000 and $45,000, and for the stage she had spent $107,000.
Mm-hmm.
So in total, $750,000 was spent on Women's Month celebration, and $306,500 on the 16 days of active activism campaign, which relates to activities. It is unclear how the department justifies expenditure amounting to more than R1 million so as to ensure the promotion of women's rights. Thus, nearly 25% of the branch related to women went to two commemorative events. However, the portfolio committee had indicated to the department that more emphasis should be spent on sustainable initiatives and programs that promote women's rights. This is highly problematic. So again, I just relate to back to May 2009, May 2010, the department, was our committee was very clear: do not do activities that's just once off. If you want to promote women's rights, do something throughout the year. In terms of the National Gender Machinery meeting, it's unclear what secretariat services are and how the department can justify spending R71,000 for one particular meeting in March. And again, to note that there was over expenditure in terms of salaries and wages for that particular branch, and that at the end of the content narrative, this particular branch stipulated that its budget was inadequate. However, there was an under expenditure of R614,882.99. So the irony is, they're arguing that the budget was inadequate, but they actually didn't spend R500,000, more than R500,000. So just perhaps I could get some content input in terms of the women's branch. If there's anything else you want me to add, highlight, or pull out. Anything else that, in terms of the women's branch, that you want me to highlight and note?
Perhaps just a general comment. I see here that the operating payments were small in comparison with what was budgeted. But I'm also concerned that throughout this we found that there's very little gone in operation. How are we going to have a computer system and all these other systems up and ready to operate soon if that money hasn't been spent? Where has the money gone? How they got to the stage of readiness? It just seems to me to be at odds.
I'll be okay with the women's branch. I've noted the concern about training and development, which is actually a trend throughout under expenditure. They just haven't spent anything. And at the operating payments, again, there's a consistent indication of under expenditure in that regard. And that relates to how the department is preparing itself to capacitate its infrastructure to be able to run independently.
Thank you.
it's unclear what the assets stand for. Whether it was purchasing of IT equipment or movable assets, or I don't know, not indicated.
Can I just ask a question? Perhaps you won't be able to answer me. But what stands out in my mind now, there was no operation because no money was spent. What were people actually doing? Were they sitting in offices twiddling their thumbs? Have we got any other sort of information that will give us some sort of a record of what people do? Under what department will we find that? What they've achieved? Where they've been going? What they've been doing during this period? I mean, that's part of management, surely.
The documents sent on Monday afternoon, in annexure 5, you could more or less track for the women's branch what they've done in terms of local and international trips, because they've listed for the whole financial period per month almost whether they went to Rusiki Siki, how many officials went with, whether they went on international trip and how many went with. So for the women's branch, in terms of trips and events, you can more or less track from month to month what they've done. But again, Honourable Robinson, that's a challenge, because they haven't overtly said, this is what we've done. We're supposed to infer and kind of pull out based on what they've said sporadically to So when I move to the content matters, what I've indicated on page 6 is that within the presidency, there's very little that pertains to, from a program perspective, this is what they've done. There's too little information to evaluate. And in terms of... and that the report presented to the committee on the 20th of October on progress as it pertains to the program did not coincide with the handover report by the previous minister of the presidency in terms of the objective. But I think what I will add in here is Honourable Robinson's comment as to it's very difficult to ascertain once the department came into being what specifically they had achieved and undertaken besides the international and local trips stated. Because besides that, we don't know if they produced another report, if they published a study, or anything to that effect. Have some comments around that would be helpful. Thank you.
No, the reason my department cannot have permanent staff. If you remember, beginning of this year, they had this part of the committee that was settled in the middle of some point, and now again they have others that are people that are somewhere again. So they do not have. That's why we cannot get the whole information that we need, because there is no permanent in the office.
Honourable Kiki, I agree with you. When Dr. Cornegay, Mabel Danschler, and three others from DBSA, they were only brought in to do the strategic plan. The content people was Ria from the Women's Project, Ria Ranji Reddy, David Shabalala from Children, Benny Parima from Disability. And each of those three have two other people in terms of deputy directors related to the focus of concern. So in other words, those are the same people in the offices. They were responsible for programs. They were responsible to do the content. but it's not clear what they were doing in the time of the transition. Because they still got paid a salary from both ones, the presidency, and they still had to deliver on the objectives of the handover report. So to some extent, they needed to carry on with the footwork, while Dr. Cordigay and Mabel Ranschler, with the minister, were supposed to sort out the strategic plan.
What comes across throughout for all the sections, women, children, and disability? Well, with limited resources, we have long accepted their finances are not adequate. Also, with human resources there, they are still understaffed. But you want to see that from the word go, with constraints that are there, the approach is right. You know, like, you can't talk about education, and when you're talking about education, the student or the children who must be taught are so little spoken about. Instead, it is more about teachers going to conferences and campaigns. And so even here, you don't hear much about the people that this intended for, women, children, and disabled people. It's only here and there where you hear about workshops. I mean, there's so much that you can hear, but when I was listening to the one for disability yesterday, it was indeed over international conferences and meetings, workshops. I mean, that way you're floating up there with ideas and theory. But whether those will impact will ultimately come down and help people on the ground, that is a difference. This throughout, you don't hear how this is grounded. Ultimately, it must be grounded. Whatever they are doing must reach out to the actual people, to these children, to these disabled people, to these women who are abused down there. And there's float so little about that, and much is floating up there. And I just think that total approach, I don't know how you're going to put it, should be changed. That we are more interested in actual women who need this, actual children who need this. The report must reflect that. Actual disabled people who need this. Not hotels, conferences, aeroplanes, because these overseas trips, that is all that they need. And being office bound, you can be office bound, plan, but make sure that your plans moved out of office and reach out to the people. So there's so little about the actual people, that is just what worries me.
Thank you, Chair. I fully concur with what my colleague has said. This is meant to be a department that makes a difference in people's lives. So 100% for that. I just want to make a comment about the fact that Honourable Kiki said the people were not permanently employed, and this could be why there wasn't much productivity. I just want to say I think that's totally unacceptable. While you are receiving money, you must work. There are so many people in this country who are unemployed. Everybody should value their jobs and add value for the hard work that they do. Lack of permanent appointment shouldn't make any difference. In fact, you should work harder so that you can become a permanent employee. Something else that strikes me is that we have people appointed at a very high level, directors, deputy directors. Those people earn big salaries. Surely one should have some people at a lower level, administrative staff, who don't earn as much necessarily but can actually do the work. And that the directors get on and do planning and so on, although everybody should be working, but it's just a different level of expertise. So I think that is something that we're looking at. We're top heavy. You know, the old sort of expression, too many chiefs and not enough Indians. We are not there for window dressing, we are there for service delivery. Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. Then, if I could just mention this other one that somehow seems to have slipped. Offers him the status of the rights of child. We have finished with that, haven't we? But I didn't comment, and I don't know if anybody else did, on operating payments. That's on page 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 from the bottom. We've got a minus 300 there. Minus 300, and then we were budgeted for 255. What does that minus mean? We've done the calculations, we've tried to work out what it means, but how can you have a negative amount? And this again tells me this. On page 5, under Office of the Status of Disabled Persons. No, it's the status of the child, sorry. On page 5, 4 from the bottom. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That negative amount, operating payments minus 300,000. What does that mean? What does this tell us about the accounting? And may I just ask, perhaps you can help me, who drew this up? Who's responsible for this document when there are so many anomalies?
It was the acting DG Kenteri. He took responsibility and spoke to the finances. When I spoke to National Treasury, she had indicated, this is Gillian Wilson, who's the chief director responsible for Vote 7 in the department, that seconded a chief financial officer part-time to assist the department from Treasury, but that this was only going 1 hour a week to give support, and that was too little. So as much as she was trying to set up systems, so Ken Terry said she took responsibility for trying to manage all of these.
Another comment then, it's just sad to think that we're not serious about women and women's issues if this is the way things are being treated and the way the women's issues and the staff are being treated. We must say, what is the purpose of this ministry?
So what I've captured, moving on from content matters, is that there's very the last, besides the two bullet points, I've also indicated that it was very difficult for the committee to ascertain what this department was actually doing besides the international and local trips, notwithstanding the fact that there was secondment. People were there for a short measure, and there wasn't enough staff, and there was lack of finances. In terms of number 6, the consideration of the Committee on Public Accounts, page 6.
I think we are busy cracking our heads, looking at the figures, wanting to balance the figures. I don't think this is our way. This is actually the auditor's job. Because this is income and expenditure. It doesn't tell us anything because we are not sure about all this. I don't know how can we put it, because actually the people to verify this are auditors. This is what we call data, you know, raw material, which is supposed to be compiled and verified by the auditors. Really, to us, this does not mean anything. It's just figures, you know, like income and expenditure. And how do you verify that? We, against what are we verifying this, you know? So I'm not sure how do we want to go about saying and also maybe expressing our dissatisfaction about this, because it's like these are just numbers and next to items, you know, and we can't verify them.
Chair, can I just say I agree with you that we have to mention these things because these figures weren't submitted for verification. The whole audit process is finished and klar. So this is the tragedy, that the job wasn't done properly right from the beginning, and we must be clear in our condemnation of that.
Thank you, Chi. I think, I mean, to put you on the spot, it goes back to the issue of the contravention of the PFMA. Because the PFMA says you've got to produce an annual report. The chief financial officer is responsible for ensuring that all the financial statements are intact, that everything's been audited, and that everything's been presented. So it goes back to the extent to which compliance of the PFMA was met or was not met. Because when the presidency was audited, it was audited as a whole. But the department within the presidency, that should have been pulled out, so that when we looked at that, we should have had clear indication of issues of what was the difference between contractors. How is it that you could have allowed expenditure when nothing was budgeted for? What I could note under number 8, under the committee's observations, is the dissatisfaction by the committee in terms of the financial statements presented by the department with respect to the expenditure trends 2009-10. There is no indication as to whether these figures have been verified by the Auditor General, when in fact there have been several items that have been spent for which there was no budget for. In addition to over expenditure and under expenditure, was no indication as to what particular line items mean. For example, social contributions. So that can be the committee's first observation, that based on the information that we receive, the committee is not satisfied. We're not sure. We cannot verify the figures, and that there's no explanation given to all the line items, nor is there any explanation given as to how you can spend on a line item and that has not been budgeted for. Would that capture the chair's concern?
Say the unaudited financial statement right at the, you initially said financial statement, but is that the issue that this is not audited? This is unaudited, must come out very strong. I mean, we hardly have the skill and the capacity. And even auditors are questioned what type of auditors are they qualified and the lines, they are reputable one. But if it is our auditor general here, that's a recognized one, everybody accepts that, that's fine. But just to get something that is not audited, how do you say what they are saying there is true? You can put your money in the pocket and write something on paper. It is only auditors who can say what you've written on paper is exactly the right thing that you've written on the paper. Let alone that they've spent on items that they hadn't budgeted for. But I mean, even those things that they say, all of them are not officially. They are not authentic. Authorized by any professional people. So the issue of an audited statement and finances must be very strong. In any institution that has reputable concern, you don't give money matters without them being audited.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to say I think Honourable Danny has just said what I've been saying, and that we can't soft-pedal. We must go, for this was a contravention. Because the more we talk about it, the more obvious it is that things have been contravened. It's not just a by the way or a little bit of a mistake. I think we ourselves will be blameworthy if we don't put it in the strongest terms.
Travel by the travel. this Tamak is?
Yes.
Is it broken? Is it broken down?
No, we don't come out of there.
That's what I'm asking.
Yes.
This Tamak.
Yeah, what we've indicated is that in terms of travel, there's an indication as to travel for the women's branch. They give a breakdown as to local and international trips, the number of officials that went, and where the minister went. But they don't give the cost incurred for the minister. For the disability branch, they only highlight the New York trip with the minister, but they don't indicate the cost there. And they don't give any other indication as to the trips for the children's branch or the cost incurred.
Sorry, lastly, can we put it in the recommendation that we would still, appreciate the CFO to come and explain this, this figure?
Mm-hmm.
Are we putting it in the recommendations or are we just going to invite them?
If it is written, that's better.
I've noted that. Just to, it's just going back to page 6, I just want to conclude on page number 6 and 7. 6 looks at the consideration reports from the Committee on Public Accounts. I've indicated we cannot do that because the department did not appear in front of the Committee on Public Accounts. And that number 7, any other sources of documentation, the committee could not consider any other source of information for compilation of the report. Then moving on to the committee's observations. The first observation was the concern and dissatisfaction by the committee about the figures of financial statements presented to the committee on the 20th of October. These could not be verified. It's a contravention of the PFMA with regards to whether these statements were actually audited, given the fact that particular line items were not explained, line items were spent for which was not budgeted for. The second observation we noted was what Honourable Kiki had indicated, that due to the transitional arrangements between the offices and the department, it impacted directly on the performance of the department, and that particularly around matters related to human resources, finances, as well as the programs, and that the timing of the transition of migration from the offices was also problematic, and that there appeared to be a lack of a plan to manage the transition. The next observation we noted was, which came out of the meeting yesterday, the lack of leadership providing guidance to support officials within the department. The next observation was the long delays in terms of filling senior management, which directly impacts the performance of the department. The next observation, the absence of the department's bank account, personal system and BAS system, which impedes on the management of the department, hence it impacts as well as on oversight and accountability becomes a challenge. That the overall limited resources, both financial and human, of the department impacts on the performance, and it's the secondment of personnel for limited periods, the lack of appointment of particular positions also impacted on the performance. That the concern was, despite that, that the current appointments were largely around senior posts with very little emphasis of junior posts being filled in order to assist the department in going forward. That there was very little evidence of how the programs articulated and translated into engagement with women and children, persons with disabilities on the ground to actually improve on their lives, as the emphasis by the department to date appeared to be focused on commemorative events and attending conferences and meetings. Okay. I picked up earlier on that members also was concerned still about the mandate of the department. And I don't know whether we should note that as an observation too, that the lack of clarity about what this department is supposed to do impacts on how they translate that into their program of action. And until there's clear clarity about what that's expected, there will always be a disjuncture between what they're spending on versus what the committee expects them to do.
Mm-hmm.
So can I add something that says there's still a concern about the lack of clarity around their mandate?
I think you are right, because I think this is the reason exactly why the budget is not directed to the relevant targeted people. The question, the concern that Danny raised earlier on, because of the mandate. And we've been complaining about the mandate of this department.
Well, this is a ministry. Once it is a ministry, then I would imagine to a lesser or greater extent it must operate like other ministers. Other ministers, like us in public works, though the core function is policy and this thing of act formulating the law, doing X and so on. But ultimately we do have, if our job is infrastructure, we do policies and act on infrastructure, but ultimately we make sure roads are built. And we make sure out of building those roads, jobs are created. We've got programs about that. And we even go out and do oversight and make sure that roads are built and the infrastructure that the economy needs is there, it is done. So we hit the ground to a very large. If you look at all our activity strategic plan, you don't get the feeling that we are just floating there in a ministry, in parliament, in offices. You can see actually that a lot of our resources hit the ground. Now, I acknowledge that we have long said your finances are inadequate, there's a constraint there. But even with those constraints, we need to see the same approach that you hit in the ground. You're spending a lot of that with women, with children with disability. Not in conferences and hotels. I mean, then that is hiding behind. It's like this thing that the transformation of this department, I mean, it is surprising that the very same people who were there in the presidency doing policy are still people who come today and tell us. I mean, they know they've done policy. It is that you go to the library, you'll find policy on women, on marriages, how they've changed that, on women being majors, no more minors, on women at work, employment equity, on women in ownership of property. They couldn't before because but those policies are there, and you get surprised when you are told people are still doing policy. Even the international thing, how long have they been going to Geneva and Beijing? Even the policies that are there that we must comply to United Nations international standards, they've been there. I mean, they've been, it is not a new thing. So it's like hiding behind policy. I think we still emphasize that we want to see more tangible, just like all other ministries. We see, if you say 150 million, and we can see that 70% of that, 150 million, was grounded, we'll be fine.
Okay, thanks, Danny. I think that has been noted.
Mm-hmm.
But there is one thing that I still want to really express myself, that, you know, I don't feel comfortable with the word contradiction, really. We can say that the department has not done this, we are not satisfied, but really the word contravention is too strong. I mean, using the non-compliance only, I think it's enough. Please.
Before we go, Honourable Barker, just recommendations. They must implement financial systems. They've got to expedite the placement of vacancies. More emphasis should be placed on actually improving the lives of women, children, persons with disabilities, as opposed to commemorative events. More clarity is needed on the financial statements provided. That the financial system should go up live, that the mandate should be clarified, and that should translate into a plan of action which is achievable within the allocated within the budget allocated in order to motivate for more funds. In other words, we're acknowledging they want more funds, but you're going to work with what you have to prove that more is required. Any other specific recommendations?
What about quarterly reports according to the PSLA?
Thank you, Chair. I don't quite know how to say this, but my concern is that, you know, the management doesn't take place and that people are just sitting around. Is there something else that we can put in about having timelines or targets that we know that they've got to work towards a particular point so that people can actually achieve somewhere around that?
And what I will note is to re-emphasize the committee's position with respect to the strategic plan, which has to be SMART, as in the objective is to be specific, achievable, realistic, with specific time frames, to which they need to comply with the PFMA, National Treasury Regulation.
Going back to the situation yesterday, which was a very tense one, I think earlier on you did indicate that we wanted the Mr. Terry to come back and explain to us and to give account. Now, one of the problems yesterday, although the issues were separated slightly, was the fact that the minister wasn't there and that we also took umbrage at this. Is there any way that we could say that when he does come, he must be accompanied by the minister?
I don't think it's necessary because many departments are sitting without their ministers. But we can, you know, ask her, you know, when we see her to say that she must be in meetings. Because many departments, when I spoke to certain departments yesterday, then the member said, no, we sit without the minister because the senior officials are there.
Was yesterday that a letter would come from the committee saying that, you know, the apology wasn't accepted and that, you know, the committee felt strongly about that. But I mean, that relates to yesterday, but am I right that that was agreed to? There was consensus on it. So it's not just something we're saying in the corridor, but it's something that is going out in a letter.
One last one. So when I take into totality what is discussed here, the overall conclusion was the committee was dissatisfied with the fact that there wasn't an individual annual report by the department, notwithstanding the fact that they had said it was subsumed within the presidency. Secondly, that based on the information provided to the committee, that too was inadequate to fully assist and evaluate and oversee the performance of the department, and that the concern was that in order for the department to move forward, they need to fill vacancies and set up their financial systems, and more emphasis should be placed on actually improving the lives of women, children and persons with disabilities with respect to their programs, as opposed to an emphasis on commemorative events and conferencing. Does that capture kind of the conclusion?
Thank you.